This is a CBC original podcast.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad. Of course, I was shocked and worried. I thought this is just a mistake. It's going to end right there and then. Maybe tomorrow morning when the media gets on the story and the lawyers arrive, I'll be freed. And every time I think this is going to end soon, the Canadian embassy is going to make it work. My family is going to interfere. But eventually it got more serious and it became a reality. And a month later, after spending 1 month in solitary confinement in prison, the case was referred to court and it became a serious, serious matter.
If they have found any evidence, how many years they could give him? For nothing, they give him 7 years?
We're in a completely different country, in a different culture, in a different system. That's a good question to ask what's going wrong. Journalism, not a crime!
Journalism, not a crime! But let me start at the beginning.
Jailed Canadian journalist Mohamed Fahmy.
I'm Mohamed Fahmy, and this is Backstory. Egypt, 2013. When the Muslim Brotherhood were ousted in July 2013, the situation on the ground in Egypt was very, very tense. There was a security sweep, and a lot of people got picked up and thrown in prison for crimes they didn't commit. There was a serious clampdown on many journalists and networks that were branded as supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al Jazeera Arabic was one of them. The difference between the English Al Jazeera platform and the Arabic platform is, for one, the Arabic platform was shut down by a court order in Egypt, branding it as a Muslim Brotherhood mouthpiece and a threat to national security. As for the Al Jazeera English channel, they were allowed to work in Egypt, as we were told, and I do believe that some of the best journalists work there and that the line is completely different than the Arabic line. It's balanced, it's professional, and that's why I took the job. And I made sure that the network kept me away completely from the Arabic channels. However, I think the Egyptians viewed the channels as one and considered it one toxic brand, and we paid the price at the end of the day as professional Al Jazeera English journalists. The arrest was a real shocker. I got a knock on the door and I looked through the hole and it was a waiter. It was the good old waiter trick. I opened the door and suddenly a dozen officers barged in. One of them was filming it all on a video camera. The other was taking photographs and they were basically filming it, the raid. They thought I was an Al Jazeera Arabic journalist. They had no clue that I was working for the English channel. The raid was televised on TV and they added some music to it. And it made me look like I was, you know, this bad guy who was conspiring against Egypt. And I was branded as a Muslim Brotherhood terrorist before I even arrived to the police station.
He's been very outspoken critic of the Muslim Brotherhood. And at the moment in Egypt, there are many people in prison who are from that group. What needs to happen now is very high-level engagement by the government of Canada. And that means Prime Minister Harper engaging directly with President Sisi.
Never did I think I would go to jail for doing my job. Me and Baher, the producer that was working with me at the time, we were thrown into the Scorpion maximum security prison. It was insane because you're in a wing with leaders of Al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters who had come in from Syria and Libya. And you just wonder, ask yourself, why am I with these people? I am a journalist. Why am I even branded in a prison where there is no outing, no sunlight, no way of telling time? I was in a solitary confinement cell infested with insects. There wasn't enough food. It was freezing. I was sleeping on the floor. So it was really, really a tough situation. And I did call it at one point psychological torture.
Things are confusing. Nothing is for sure when it comes to how things unfold in the judicial system in Egypt.
I was worried for my well-being, of course, being in that prison, that the situation would get worse. And one of the worst moments for me is when I was sentenced to 7 years. This is the first time when I broke down into tears behind bars, wondering if I'm going to spend the 7 years with, you know, extremists and ISIS fighters, and it's tough.
It's hard to see your loved one in prison behind bars for just doing his job.
We continued to ask that we be released on bail, but the judge refused every single time. There was no concrete evidence to incriminate us or convict us for being terrorists or fabricating any news. To go all the way and present photos of me and Mohammed al-Zawahiri and former members of the Muslim Brotherhood while I'm interviewing them was the sort of evidence they brought against us. Well, to me, I told the judge, that's an exclusive. Thank you so much for showing off my work. It was a travesty of justice. It was obvious as well that the Egyptian government was sending a message to all the journalists who are not towing the government's line. So it was definitely a political trial in every sense of the word.
And I suppose all of us thought when they were first arrested, this would just be a matter of days before they were either released or deported, or it would all go away. And I suspect that they have just sat there thinking, when will this end? And there are lots of rumours that there may be a pardon, that they may be deported, but until those rumours become a reality, we have to keep the pressure up. And until you open those prison doors, this is the image that will be shown around the world of Egypt.
Freedom is once again on the horizon for Canadian-Egyptian journalist Mohammed Fahmy and his Al Jazeera.
Mohammed Fahmy is a free man tonight.
Mohammed Fahmy is free tonight.
When I found out I was pardoned, I felt that the nightmare has finally ended. And I literally was dancing and hugging my colleague, and we were finally relieved after a nightmare that lasted almost 2 years.
I'm very happy, and I will consider it a bad dream, and we'll have to start our life again.
I can't even describe it in words. I'm ecstatic. I'm the happiest person. Finally, I have my brother back with us. We all suffered in so many ways. Finally, the suffering is over. It's the best feeling right now.
Last night I spoke with Mohammed Fahmy, and today I have two questions. First, will the Prime Minister pick up the phone and call President al-Sisi to personally ask...
I've been very vocal about how the Canadian government did not do enough to help me.
The government remains very concerned about this case and about the process in question. We have expressed.
Mr. Harper, the Prime Minister at the time, delegated his responsibilities to very kind and professional ambassadors on the ground in Egypt, but it needed more than that. It needed a direct engagement from the Canadian government, and I am now working on a charter of protection with Amnesty International, and we're presenting it to Mr. Justin Trudeau, and it basically entails new articles and ideas to better protect Canadian prisoners abroad. My idea, for example, one of the articles states the importance of leader-to-leader intervention as soon as the arrest happens. So there is a lot of work to be done, and I think by taking proactive approaches, we could save lives and we could improve many issues on the ground.
There are no words to describe how it feels when you are wrongfully convicted and sitting in a cold cell, infested with insects, nurturing a broken shoulder.
I feel that freedom of the press and human rights are facing unprecedented threats. It's become a trend where governments are using vague, fluid terrorism laws to imprison journalists across the globe for crimes they didn't commit. And it's not just happening in the Middle East. We're seeing issues with press freedoms in Canada, for example, with C-51. So there's a lot of work to be done. And I think governments should understand that we need new legislations to protect journalists from prosecution. If we don't unite together as networks and governments and ordinary people, then we will lose this war. Backstory is recorded and produced by Cecil Fernandez, with help this week from Lorna Haber, Ann Penman, and Jeff Turner. For more episodes of Backstory, visit cbc.ca/backstory. I'm Mohamed Fahmy.
For more CBC Original Podcasts, go to cbc.ca/originalpodcasts.